And so if we can condition our heart in the right place and we do that daily, then we are going to be prepared to position our heart in the right place when catastrophe hits, when things get hard, when life happens. And that is huge, I think, for a lot of people. There are many Christians out there that will simply lean on the Lord when things go bad. And they come to him and they run to him when things are bad. But if you're only doing that, then you're not going to have that foundation to really lean on him fully, and trust him fully if we're only coming to him when things are bad. So it's a regular conditioning of your heart is what I believe the Lord was teaching me throughout all of those years.
Welcome back to the Jesus Magnet Podcast. I'm your host, Joel, all the way from New Zealand. And today we have Gwen Mays with us. How are you doing, Gwen?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me on the show.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. So Gwen, a wee bit of a background for our listeners. She is the host of the Wounded Marriage Podcast, which we'll be releasing in 2024. So make sure that you check that out. And she has also got a coaching business called Still Waters Coaching, which is coaching women and helping them get through infidelity in marriage. And she is an expert in trauma, mental health, suicide, and infidelity. So I am very excited to have you on the show, Gwen, and have your testimony and how God has radically changed your life, because he does that with every one of our guests. They come in and they share how wounded they were and then how grace fell upon them and God has radically changed every one of us. And I love how it's such a universal thing. So, Gwen, thank you for coming on the show. And, I'm just going to pretty much pass the mic over to you and let you begin your testimony where you think it begins. And I'm going to be here to expand different areas of your testimony, things that, you know, us and all the listeners are going to be very interested in. And pretty much pass the mic over to you, Gwen.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for letting me be here and just sharing God's goodness, because he is so good no matter what our circumstances are. And that's a big thing that I share with everyone, is just how hard my story was, but also the major part of my story is the redemptive aspect of God coming in and changing all of it. So it is amazing what he has done in my life. It starts about 18 is when I feel like that's when everything started for me. I had a really great childhood before that point. I just moved out of my parents' house and I got my own place and I was getting ready to get married. We were high school sweethearts and we got married very young. But I had moved out prior to getting married and I found out my dad called me and said, "Hey, one of your siblings has taken 71 Tylenol." And he didn't tell us for 3 days.
Has taken
So,
what, sorry?
71 Tylenol.
What is that, sorry?
Like 71 painkillers.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
So
Suicide attempt.
he took that and didn't tell anybody for 3 days. And so we knew that he was sick, but we didn't understand why. And I just kind of like went into protective mode. I had to take care of my siblings while my parents went to go make sure that he was good and everything. When he got there, they gave him a 50-50 chance to live. So I sat on the other side of the phone waiting to hear if my sibling was going to live or die. And so that was a huge, like, it just kind of was the starting point for my trauma in my life. And it was the first introduction to major trauma that I had ever seen.
And can I ask, when at this point of your life you were, 18, 19 years old, did you have any sort of connection to Jesus or God or church or anything like that? Or is that still unfamiliar territory?
Oh, yes. So I grew up in the church. My family was a really godly driven family, and They raised me in the church. I had gotten saved at a very young age. So I had a very fluent conversation and life with God and prayer life with Him and just staying in the Word and things like that. So I was very grounded, definitely in my faith.
And how did your, I guess, finding out that your siblings are going through this intense emotional journey of potentially getting to a point where they want to take their own lives, how did that affect your faith? Or did you go, God, why? You know, show up, change something, what's going on here? All that sort of lack of understanding got, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? That sort of mentality. How did you tackle that in your spiritual journey?
Well, like I said, I grew up in a very faith-driven family. My dad taught me a lot about the Lord prior to this point. And so I was in a place of, I trust you, Lord, no matter what the circumstances are. So I was in a very good place in that regard, but I had never come into contact with any kind of major trauma like this. I kind of attest it to, like, there was that innocent bubble of childhood. And that was the point where I was like, oh, life can be hard. Like, this burst my bubble of innocence. And so I realized life is scary, life is hard. And I just kind of pressed into the Lord and did ask those questions, you know, like, how is this, how does this work in the world? Why are people in such pain that they would want to take their life? Like, I want to help in this place. I had kind of two sides of the coin. I was broken for my sibling, and also I was broken in general that there was people out there that was so hurt the most. And so we kind of just moved on, and I didn't know what to do with the feelings that I had afterwards. So while I pressed into the Lord and tried to have faith in this, that there's goodness here, God's going to use this in some way. There was still all the feelings that I didn't know how to handle, deal with, or go through. So I kind of just carried that with me and moved on like my family did, and didn't know, you know, any other way because this is my first introduction to trauma. So as we go through my testimony, this was just the beginning of what I feel like was just a snowball of trauma that just continued in my life. We got married, and shortly after we got married, found out we were pregnant. We weren't expecting that, but we found out, and so we got excited, and we were like, "This is awesome." We lost that child, and it was a lot. It was a lot, and then, later on, we got pregnant again, lost another baby. And so I just felt like it was kind of these consecutive events that were happening. But again, I approached it in a way of, I need to lean on the Lord. I need to focus on Him. But the feelings aspect of it and the trauma part of it, I didn't deal with. That was just, I didn't know any other way to do it. So I just kept moving on. And I realized it started to get heavy at this point. As I move into further things, the Lord was doing a lot in my life. So there was a lot of good that He was doing through this. He was speaking to me, He was teaching me. There was many things that He was doing, but this was a season for me of just continual traumas that just came one after another. And so moving forward, I was sexually assaulted. My husband went deployed with the military. He was away, and his stepdad sexually assaulted me. And I didn't know what to do with this. My husband's gone. I have no support here. And a family member has stepped in and done this thing that I was not expecting. And so it was one of those things. Again, I leaned into the Lord. I learned a lot through that. But then there was this other side of me that still has trauma that doesn't know what to do with it. So I began to carry all of this baggage, and it started, I just felt like I was just collecting baggage. And as I did that, I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't know any different. So I just kept collecting these things. Shortly, I guess this was a few years later, we had two beautiful children at this point. God miraculously gave us our second daughter. She was not supposed to be born. The doctors told us that she would not live, and they said, just go home, have another baby. You're young, you can do this, it's fine. And I refused. I absolutely refused. I said, no, this is not going to be trauma for me. I walked into my home, grabbed my Bible, looked at my husband, and I said, look at the word here. Look at what the Lord says. The Lord says that He gives life and life abundantly. And I started reading Psalms 91 and Psalms 23, and I read that every day over my belly. And as I went to the doctor, and it was such a weird case that they wanted to see us frequently. So every time we went to the doctor, they did an ultrasound. And so we got a lot of ultrasounds. But every time we went, they started seeing the fluid that was on the back of my daughter's neck, which what they said would be a miscarriage, started to reduce and started to just absorb. And the doctors were just baffled. They could not figure out what that was. So that was kind of like an amazing miracle that the Lord
Praise
brought in the
God.
midst of this. Yeah, it was. I think it was kind of like the storm calmed for a moment, and it was this sunshine came out, and it was just a beautiful, amazing moment in the midst of a lot of other things happening. So she's still a baby, and my husband goes away for business, and he went to Las Vegas. And as he left that day, I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach that he should not go. And I just knew he should not leave. And I didn't say anything because I thought, this is a business trip. I can't just cancel everything for him. This is his job. Like, this would be crazy to just tell him I have this feeling. So I didn't. And he went, and he was in Las Vegas. He called a woman to his room while he was there. And he called me, and he was very, very frantic and said he was coming home, and he didn't explain why. And I was like, what is going on? This is really bizarre that you just left and now you're coming home. And I thought about that feeling in the pit of my stomach, and I was like, this is not good. And so he explained to me that he had a pornography addiction. And I thought, okay, well, I thought it was a lot worse than that. Why are you coming home and telling me this right now? Like, this is really weird. Not that pornography is good, but I just had this weird feeling. And then he explained about calling the woman to his room. At that time, he did not do anything with her because God miraculously stopped that. I had been praying because I had that feeling, and he just could not do anything. Like, he just felt so guilty, and he felt like the Lord had told him to tell me. So those are a lot of what had happened early on in our marriage, but the Lord came in so many different places in all of those things, and He taught me so much, and He showed me so many things, and He came in with His goodness every step of the way. And I say this over and over again. There's always good. Like, God said that in His word, that He would bring goodness to us that love Him. And so there's always going to be good. Even when we have these hard and difficult circumstances, there's going to be good there. And so I kept searching for that and seeing that and learning from that in the midst of all of this. But again, this is the theme of this section of my testimony, is that I still didn't know what to do with trauma. I still didn't know how to deal with the emotional aspect of it. And I think that's something that the church needs to address more, because I grew up in the church. I know these, what they've taught over and over and over again. I've heard all the things, but I didn't have anybody that sat down and said, yes, you need to have faith in the Lord, but you also have to deal with this human aspect, which Jesus did throughout Scripture. And we see it time and time again. And so that's one thing that I didn't have. And this part of our marriage, where we found out this information, we had to just kind of halt everything and start from scratch and just be like, we got to do something different here. We have to figure this out. So this was the point where people started to teach me a little bit about trauma and how to deal with that, but it still wasn't a direct, this is what you need to do. I was dealing with it a little bit, but not in the way that I would have wished that I could have done for myself back then. If I could go back and teach myself what I know now, that would have tremendously helped me so much. And that's why I have a vision and a heart and a passion to do that with women today, because there's not enough people speaking in biblical terms of emotions and trauma and how to deal with those types of things. So at this point of my testimony, I've had quite a bit of trauma and things going on, but I felt like the storm was calming, the sun's coming out, and so the Lord started calling my heart to suicide awareness and suicide help. And so I began to do some volunteer work with a suicide hotline and helping people in that regard, because I had a friend of mine that passed away from suicide around that time. And it just kind of hit me again that we can't sit here and allow this to continue to happen to other people.
Well, I would love to just quickly jump in and ask before we go down this track a little bit further, is with your husband and him confessing essentially his biggest struggle. How did that, the actual confession of that, and you being able to partner with him, did that create more trust, less trust? Did you able to bring God into it and actually pray with him and do all of that to create some sort of rebuilding in your marriage and things like that? Because that can be one of the things where if you have a struggle in your marriage and you keep it hidden the whole time, it can create a distance, and one partner just has no idea why. And how important was that for him to actually, you know, reveal the, you know, dare I say it, the dirtiness of ourselves, and how much we need grace and how much we need our partner, even with the worst part of ourselves.
That was crucial at that time for our marriage, because I was, like you said, it creates this distance, and you're like, why? Like, what is the distance there? And the way that I explain it is that day I saw the face of the monster that I had been fighting this whole time. I had a name for it. I had a face for it. I understood what it was. And so that kind of encouraged me. As much as it was difficult to hear, as much as it was difficult to walk that road, I told my husband even recently, I said, our best point of our marriage, I think, and the closest that we had been together, was that point, because of that confession and because of how we dealt with it together. It was hard. It was difficult. There was a lot of emotions. There was a lot of things we had to deal with, but it brought us closer together, because he was humble enough to say, I have a problem. And now I know what that problem is with him, and so we can come to find a solution together. So it was really crucial for our marriage at that point, and it drew us closer together and closer to the Lord, as God had spoken to him while he was there, and it just kind of woke him up in that way at that time.
Oh, that's a good answer. I mean, I think it's so important to be honest with your partner. And be able to say, you know, I actually need you, because your husband didn't want that addiction. He didn't want those things. And I think the Apostle Paul says it in one of his letters to the church. He says, "I do things that I don't want to do, but I do them anyway." And it's the most confusing part of Scripture. And I'll see if I can find it in a bit. And it shows that, like, we just because we do these evil acts, we're not trying to be evil, you know. And that's when God comes in and he changes us, and he knows the need. Like, we don't want to be this way, and But the only way that the change happens, the switch, is with a humble heart to say, God, I need you. And, you know, my wife or my husband, I need you. And to reveal that part, because, you know, you can't help somebody if they're lying to themselves that they've got a problem, if they think mm-hmm. that it's normal or whatever it is. We have to be humble. And actually, that's one reason I love prayer, is because every time you pray, you're saying, Lord, I need you, you know, in anything, you know, and it creates a humble heart. If you have an active prayer life, it creates a dependency on God. So, yeah, I just love that whole part of your testimony, that and how crucial that is for marriages in particular, to not be afraid. And I'm saying this to our listeners, not just to react in the way that you reacted, Gwen, to not be like, you are the worst husband for doing this, but to say, we're going to get through this. I still love you. I know you don't want to be like that. Let's get through this together. And because I think there's two ways that people think of God. They say, I'm in trouble. I need to run from my father because I don't want to be in trouble. Or mm-hmm. I'm in trouble. I need to run to my father, to my dad, because I'm in trouble. And we need to have that approach in our marriage to, I'm in trouble. I can't do this. I need to run to my spouse. And I just love how your husband knew that. He's like, I can't do this. And he ran to mm-hmm. you, not away from you, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's it was a really important thing at that time. And we grew a lot together in that. And that was just, I guess, all of this right up to this point was kind of like half of my testimony, which is amazing to me, because I thought, okay, well, this is a lot. Like, this is what God wants me to share. But he started calling me into the military myself. So I had wanted to go to the military when I was in high school, but then we had plans to get married and all these things. And so it kind of got pushed away. And so I was really excited to go into the military, and I did. And the first day that I did training, I met this young lady, and she was just so wonderful. She was much younger than me, and I was a little bit older going into the military. So I kind of mentored her, and she became like a little sister to me, and I cared for her and walked with her with God and everything. And so that was a beautiful friendship that came out of the military service. A couple of years down the road into that military service and that friendship, I was at work, and they stopped me in the hall and said, did you hear? And I was like, did I hear what? And they were like, oh, she didn't hear. And they told me that friend of mine had taken her life.
Oh, wow.
And that was a moment for me where all of that trauma, all of the things that had happened to me that I had been carrying, it was like the dam burst and all of my emotions came out. And so I started sobbing at work in front of everyone. And I ran to the bathroom thinking that I could get away from my pain, and it just echoed in the bathroom. And so I just sat there like, what do I do with this? Because I still hadn't really understood how to face that and how to sort through that, how to work through that with the Lord. So I found myself on my knees in front of the Lord, and I just told him everything. I said, God, look at all the trauma. Look at all the things that I have walked through that I know you didn't want. I know this wasn't your purpose. I know that this pain wasn't from you, but look at what the enemy has done here. Tried to steal so much joy of mine and all of these different things. And I just laid my heart out there. And I said, God, that my heart is so broken that I can't pick up all the pieces. And this was the turning point for me, his response, because he said to me, who asked you to do that? It's my job. And that changed my whole perspective, and it changed everything for me, because I realized that I had been trying to carry all of that pain by myself the whole time and never tried to hand it over to God. I thought that was my job to carry it and to protect it and keep it and figure out what to do with it. And so that changed my whole life perspective. And he started to rapidly heal me over the next 6 months of all the trauma that I had walked through. And so as I go through this healing process, he calls me into life coaching, which is what I'm doing today and helping other women in this space. So I was really excited about that and went into life coaching and did that for a couple of years. We decided at this point to move to Tampa, Florida. And this is where my testimony changes again. And I was not expecting it because everything was going so well and everything was great. And my husband, to give you a little bit of backstory, in all of this time, as I was being called from the Lord to go into coaching and share my testimony and do all of these things, he starts to drift away from God. And so we start to have a little bit more conflict, a little bit more issues in the marriage. I'm not understanding why. And we're trying to work through it. And so that's kind of going on at this point. And we're like, maybe moving to Florida, because we both felt led to move to Florida. Maybe moving to Tampa, Florida is going to be a change of pace and it'll be good for us. So we moved down there. And within a few weeks, I realized things are wrong. There's something majorly wrong here because our belongings did not come. And we're like, this is kind of weird. So in a 3 week period of time, I went through a Job-like experience. I began to have vision issues and I lost my job, which means we couldn't afford the house that we were living in. And I lost all of the belongings in the move because the movers never showed up. We tried to get a lawyer and we never got them back.
Is this
And
2019,
then
2020?
this was 2021.
2021. Okay.
Yeah. So, I lost all of the belongings in the move, and then my husband comes to me, confesses to an affair, and then asks me for a divorce. So again, I found myself on my knees in front of the Lord, but instead of the brokenness that I had brought to him previously, I raised my hands in praise. And this is the redemptive
Wow.
part of this testimony, is that I went through a lot. I was broken in that. I went before the Lord broken. He showed me how to begin the healing process, how to allow him to let me be human and also heal and walk with him and lean on him. And because of that, he gave me such confidence in that 3 week period of time where I learned about all of these things. He gave me such confidence in his word and his principles and what he had taught me because I could still praise God. I could lift my hands in praise, deal with the emotional aspect of it, still be human and have those emotions and have that stuff going on, but still hold on to the Lord and praise Him through the storm and not let the enemy steal my joy. And that was huge for me to just have that confidence. I felt like I was walking on solid ground. If I can go through that many things in a 3 week period of time and basically lose everything that I had, on the brink of losing my marriage and everything, if I can do that, then and I can praise God in the midst of it, then I have something here that the Lord wants me to share with others. Like there is something that can help people get through the same thing. And so anybody can do that because of God, because of his power, because of what he brings to the table. So it was very, very powerful moment in my life and a turning point again, with the Lord.
So you're going through this chaos kind of all at once. And what I want to know, and I think our listeners will be quite keen on learning, what are your daily spiritual habits that you've been doing? Is it prayer? Is it reading the Bible? Is it going for walks? Is it meditation? Is it worship music? What are you doing to have that deep connection to the Holy Spirit that preps you to stand on solid ground even when there's a chaos and storm all around you, that you can still stay in one place and raise your hands to God and not get swept away. Like, I'm listening to that thinking, how I think I would get swept away. And if that hit my boat or that storm, the fact that you were able to raise your hand and still praise Jesus, what was it that you did to prep, I suppose, for that, to have your spirit ready to still run to the Father and not from him in the chaos?
So I think a lot of it, first of all, my daily habits that I do and I had been doing my whole life really, is worship music all the time. I am constantly in worship. I'm constantly in prayer with the Lord. If I am washing dishes, I am praying. If I am not talking, I am praying. If I am, you know, whatever I am doing, I'm thinking about the Lord and praying to him, unless I have something else that I am doing. But even in that, I'm saying, God, this is something I'm doing for you. My breath, my everything is for you. So it's a form of praise. Everything that I'm doing is a form of praise to the Lord. And that's how my heart is conditioned. And the Lord really did that. This was him teaching me through every single instance that I had prior to this. Even though the Lord didn't want all of that trauma for me when I was younger, he used every single aspect of that and taught me what I needed to understand and know, one thing at a time, where it wasn't like everything at once. And so that helped me in the midst of that storm to know how to rely on him, even when everything hits at one time. So he had slowly just started to teach me in my walk with him and praising him and conditioning my heart. And I think the heart is where it's all at, because when we read scripture, when we look at everything, God is looking at our heart. That's what he did consistently throughout scripture. And so if we can condition our heart in the right place and we do that daily, then we are going to be prepared to position our heart in the right place when catastrophe hits, when things get hard, when life happens. And that is huge, I think, for a lot of people. There are many Christians out there that will simply lean on the Lord when things go bad. And they come to him and they run to him when things are bad. But if you're only doing that, then you're not going to have that foundation to really lean on him fully, and trust him fully if we're only coming to him when things are bad. So it's a regular conditioning of your heart is what I believe the Lord was teaching me throughout all of those years.
That's a really good answer. Perfect. And now for one of those encouragements for our listeners: stay in the Word, stay praying, not only in the bad seasons, but in the good seasons. And that prepares you for any season. So yeah, that's such a good word, Gwen. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was kind of my testimony and just how I have come from so many different traumatic places, and how the Lord can just come in any situation, no matter what you are facing, and he's able to turn it around. He's going to do things for your good in every situation, even if he didn't want that to happen to you, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world with a spiritual warfare going on. So that's what was happening this entire time, is the spiritual warfare. And I believe that this all happened more so because of the testimony and because of the ministry that I was supposed to be taking on in the future. And God knew that. And so he was, again, preparing me for all of that and battling, you know, putting on our spiritual armor and preparing me in that way. So it was, it's just amazing. And he's continuing to do that every single day. That's not the end of my testimony, I'm sure, but God will always come through with good. And so I look forward to seeing what good there is today and tomorrow and every day that I live.
That's awesome, Gwen, but I would love to ask about your marriage. Did it, are you and your husband still together, or did you guys go through with the divorce? And if not, how did you sort of fix that? Yeah.
Yeah. So we are still together. And that is why I have the heart that I do for helping others, because I believe that no matter what situation it is, that it can be turned around with the Lord. With the Lord, that's the key. But we are still together, and we had to work a lot. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes and trying to keep this thing moving along. And even up to recently, we've had to really discuss a lot because there's so much hurt, there's so much pain, there's so many emotions that goes into affairs and infidelity inside of your marriage, which is why God didn't want that for anyone because it's so deeply hurtful. So there's a lot to sift through, but the Lord is faithful in every situation that you hand over to him. And I continually handed this situation over to him. And so we've had to really work hard in that and put in the work. But we are still together. We are still working every single day. And I believe, again, it is a spiritual battle that we have been facing in our marriage. And so I'm putting on my armor daily. I'm conditioning my heart daily to be set for the Lord so that we are victorious in that because the Lord's on our side.
That's awesome. I love that. I do have a two-part question, and you don't have to answer this, but I'd love to see if this is something that you have thought about. Have you forgiven your husband and the other woman?
That is a great question. So actually, that's another side testimony that I can share. So in this infidelity process, you have to understand if you're outside of that, you've never dealt with that before. It's not usually something that's like someone has infidelity and then everybody just gets back together and they're remorseful and then everything's peachy. That doesn't usually happen most of the time. If they've gotten to the point where they've gotten infidelity inside the marriage, they're not truly that remorseful at that point. Most people, not all of them, but most people are not ready to reconcile. And so it's kind of a struggle. And that's where, that's kind of how things happened at first with my husband and I. And so I was really praying through a lot at that time. And so we came back together. And we were trying to work on things. And he had said that she was out of his life and everything was good to go there. He had cut her off, all of the things. And so I was praying and I'm praying and I'm like, it just doesn't, something isn't quite right. And I couldn't put my finger on it. But the Lord came to me and said, did you forgive her? And at this point, I had already forgiven my husband. I was working with him, trying to work on things. Everything was fairly good, at least in my heart, at that time. So it was really good on my side of things with the forgiveness for him. And I had to work through things. So the listeners that are hearing this right now, it wasn't just, okay, I forgive you, and then everything is good. Forgiveness starts with, I forgive you, and then you have to deal with the feelings and the hurt and the pain after that. So I don't want to paint a picture that's like rosy after something like this, but God had come to me at this point and said, have you forgiven her? And I was like, oh, like to me, I was working so hard to forgive my husband and work on my feelings that it just never crossed my mind. So I sat with that and really was like, huh, I don't know. So I told the Lord, I'm like, I'm not really sure. I haven't really had time to think about that. So he just kind of let it go. I sat with that for a little bit. The next day, he comes back and said, are you ready to forgive her? And I said, yes. And so that's the point where I decided, okay, I'm going to forgive her. And I need to write her out this letter and say that I have forgiven her. And that's one of the things that I posted on social media was a video of something similar to what I wrote her. And it just shares my heart and my heart for her as a child of God as well. I don't know if she's a Christian, But she is still a child of God that God wants to come into the kingdom, that he longs to come into the kingdom if she's not. So I see it in that way. And I wrote this letter out to her and I messaged it to her thinking she would never get this because I don't really have a contact information for her other than I knew her name, I knew who she was, and I could look her up on social media. So I just messaged her thinking she's never going to read it. A couple of hours later, as soon as she read it, she calls me on Facebook and said, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I did not know you were that kind of a person."
Wow.
And so we have like a whole little chat together. And I said, "You know, I forgive you and I want love in your life someday, someone that truly loves you, because this wasn't true love as much as I'm sure she felt that it was." I said, "I want somebody that's not gonna try to just string you along. I want someone to come into your life that truly loves you, and I care about you that much to say that." And so we had this long chat conversation, and in that conversation, she mentioned my husband that she had talked to him recently, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And that kind of like threw me off. I was not expecting that, and so this was kind of a relapse kind of situation for my husband in that space, and it was really, really hard to swallow. I was trying to deal with that, and I started praying through that, just kind of like absorbing that. And I told him, "Can you just go away for a couple of days and give me some time to pray with the Lord? I just really need to pray with the Lord." And so I took that time and I wrote out a list of boundaries that I wanted to set and kind of just like a plan moving forward. And I handed it to him. It was pretty lengthy, and I said, "These are the things that's going to help me feel safe right now and moving forward with this relationship. So if you are willing to abide by these things and respect my boundaries in this way, then I'm willing to try to see if we can make this work. So we're going to take this one day at a time, but one of the things is that you have to cut her out of your life completely, and you cannot be lying to me about it anymore." And so that was kind of another testimony that, as hard as that was to have happen, it was something that I knew there was safety in the Lord yet again, because he had called me to forgive her so that I could learn the information that I needed to know that was something that he was lying to me about. He uncovered the truth, and I never would have known that if I had not followed through with what he was asking me to do. And so it was just another layer of protection that the Lord had been putting in every step of this journey. And it was really good, and I think it kind of wiped the slate clean, and we began to really, really focus in on the marriage and how we could move forward in a positive way.
Wow. I love that, how God telling you to do kind of the hardest thing you could probably do is face that woman. And that probably saved your marriage in a weird way, because he might have continued to have this contact and been lying to you. And what we said earlier, there's that distance that starts happening, and you start going, "Why? You know, like, what is it this time?" You know, and how God sort of prepped you for that. And yeah, that's so cool. I've got a question here that I know some of our listeners would love your perspective on. Is there any times when divorce is the correct answer?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I just had a conversation with someone that was under the impression that divorce is never the answer, that God believes that there's zero times that you should get divorced. My stance on this is that safety should always be a key factor here. I believe that the Lord wants safety for every single person out there. And so if you are in a situation that is emotionally unsafe or physically unsafe, then you should take measures to put yourself in a position of safety, whatever that looks like, and then go from there. So I believe that there's a lot of people that will say, It's either black or white. You're either together or you're divorced. And I don't believe that in the slightest because there you have to have safety, and sometimes that means a separation, either in-house or out of the house separation. Maybe there's distance in some way. Maybe there's, certain boundaries set up. Like I gave my husband all of those boundaries. That was to keep me safe at that point. Now, if you get to a point where someone is completely unremorseful for their actions, you cannot stay safe around that person and they do not want to move forward with the relationship, then by all means, I don't believe that the Lord wants you to stay inside of a relationship like that. And why I say that is because the Lord in Genesis, he talks about marriage first and foremost and says that they come together, they leave their parents, they cleave to their wife, and they come together as one flesh. When there's something that comes in between you having that one flesh, and I believe that's why adultery, is big and infidelity is coming in between that. So that's why I believe Jesus specifically said, that that was okay to divorce inside of those circumstances. It's because your heart in divorcing that is not hardened like it was in the Old Testament when they talk about divorce and the hearts of the men were hardened and they would just divorce for no reason. And so he was giving stipulations as to what was appropriate for divorce because of the heart. And this goes back to the heart again, is the conditioning of the heart. So my heart is to continue with my marriage as long as my husband wants to continue with my marriage, as long as he's present and working and moving forward, and he is fulfilling his role as a husband, protecting me and doing all of those things. But I believe if you're in a situation that doesn't provide safety, and it especially safety, but it doesn't provide someone that's willing to work and move forward, then that person has already left the relationship. They have already spiritually divorced their spouse. So I believe that it is definitely okay to do that and to divorce in those circumstances.
That's a really, really good answer. And I'm absolutely agree with everything that you said. I definitely see a correlation between our relationship with Christ and how marriage operates, and how with Christ, we are. It's a relationship. It's not a religious thing that we do, that we work on it, and he is the head of the relationship, and we pray and we listen, and he protects us and things like that. It's the same role that a husband has in a marriage, and that Jesus, in one sense, when you were saying that if something gets in between that relationship, the Bible says that God hates divorce. But it also says he permits it. But he still hates it. So it's the same thing with us being in a relationship with Christ. We have the ability that the whole intention right from the beginning in Genesis was this marriage covenant with mankind and God. And we even finish the Bible with a marriage supper, like that Jesus is the bridegroom and we're the bride. And, the whole thing is really a giant wedding, big marriage. And that when we start realizing that that's the same theme with our relationship with Christ, that Jesus, if something's in between our relationship, if we're putting the world on more of a priority than Jesus, that he hates divorce but will permit it. If you're not in this marriage, you got to both be in it to win it, sort of thing. And I like how you said that with your husband. He's wanting to work on it. He's not perfect, but he's wanting to work on it. Same with us. We're not perfect, but we're wanting Jesus to be our king, our savior, our husband, bridegroom, all of that. We're not perfect, but he still loves us unconditionally. And we're not perfect, and he still does that. So it's one of those things where you got to put yourself almost in that position. What did Jesus do for me? And I think the fact that you understand that so intricately, that you are able to represent Jesus in your marriage to your husband. Like, it's such an amazing amount of grace that you've got, and you know that, man, you are an amazing, amazing wife. I can tell you that, and just the grace that you've got for your husband is incredible. And I know he is on his journey and has been on this journey, and countless other people have been on this journey. And I think it's important for the reason I'm talking about this for our listeners is that be Jesus to your spouse if they stuff up. Nobody's perfect, and just how you've shown that so well. And for the ones that do stuff up, to be what did it feel like when you first went and encountered the Holy Spirit? You know, for me I broke. You know, I was like, God, I need you. I am a broken man. I'm a, you know, what's that song where it says, the wretched man I am? Jesus says, you know, I still want this relationship. And that's huge when you start to understand that grace. When you understand that grace, you can reflect that grace. And, yeah, you've done that so well, Gwen. I just think that's amazing. Really is. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I don't have any other questions. Is there any other parts that you would like to discuss before we end up finishing?
Well, I want to encourage those out there that might be going through something similar to any of the things that I have been through, because it's really rough. It's hard. It's a hard road. And there's probably a lot of emotions that you might be having inside and not really knowing what to do with. But there is hope in the Lord. And when I say that, I'm not just saying it. I've lived it. I've felt it. I've done all the wrong things with it. And I've also learned how to do the right things through the Lord with it. So there's a way of navigating this so that you don't have to feel every single day like you are drowning, because that's what I felt like for a long time. So I felt like I couldn't come up for air long enough to breathe. And that was just life stifling me. But really, it's the spiritual battle that was going on. And the enemy was trying to snuff out the testimony that I would one day have and present to others and provide hope for them. Mm. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. You have to put in the work. You have to face the emotions that you have, and you have to be willing to do that with the Lord. And there's a way forward. So if you need help in that way, I do help women right now. I'm looking into helping marriages as a whole. But if you need help in that way, I would love to help you in whatever way that I can or support you. I have a great group of women on Facebook that are just really in that space of needing support, and so if you need any help, I'm definitely here. But the Lord provides hope in every single situation, so please don't ever give up hope.
Awesome. Yeah, and Gwen, you'll send through any of those links for any of us to be able to find, so it'll be nice and easy. Just look in the description below, we'll have that ready for you. But yeah, Gwen, what an incredible story that you've got. I absolutely agree with you that, you know, God doesn't cause the hardships, but sometimes he allows us to go through them to become the person that he wants us to be, to develop that character, and also to create a weapon of evangelism for other people that are going through those things, where it's not all roses and sunshine being a Christian. In fact, the Bible promises us the opposite, that there's going to be persecution and there's going to be hardship and there's going to be some really sucky bits of our Christian walk. But that's when we have God and we can run to somebody and we can pray with somebody and we can actually cast our burdens on Jesus, and he's there to lift us up when we're low. So thank you so much, Gwen, for being on the Jesus Magnet podcast. You're an amazing woman of God, and I will continue to pray for you and your ministry. So be sure to check out, you know, Wounded Marriage podcast and also the Still Waters coaching. So we'll have all those in the description. So thank you, Gwen. for being with us on the Jesus Magnet Podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Jesus Magnet Podcast. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you connect with us. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and if you want to support us, be a member of our coffee club, Jesus Magnet Coffee Club. See you next time on the Jesus Magnet.